Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, and the Elgin, Texas. Today is January 26, 2026. Now, here we're going to start our third part of this, what is Christianity, and the second part, what is the gift of miracles? Okay? And that's on page 36 of Two Time Agreement, number 46. It says, we're going to continue where we left off. There's just a review on three lines here. Thus the Yeshua will free his people from both sin and sinners, keep them apart forevermore, and endow them with all the miracle working powers. Does he do this because they have been good, or for his name's sake? Here is his own answer. Therefore say unto the house of the Israel, thus saith the Yahweh, I do not this for your sakes, O house of the Israel, for my holy name's sake, but for my holy name's sake. It says, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen. And what is his great name? Yahweh the Father and Yahshua his Son, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahweh, saith Yahweh, and I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers. And you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. Ezekiel 36:22-28. Note how clear these verses make the picture that what the Yahweh does for his people, he does not because they are worthy of it, but for the sake of his own name, that he does it not before but after he takes him out of all countries and brings him into their own land, that he then and there cleanses them and changes their hearts. All of which shows that as long as his people are commingled with the terrorists and live among the Gentiles, they can never be fitted for the translation. Obviously, therefore, the land of our fathers is to be our final and superb dressing chamber for the feeding us for the society of the pure, sinless, eternal being. Do we see then, as plain as we should, that for the failing, for the heeding of the truth of this most momentous event is in all of the church's history, going clear back to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt with Moses, 1500 B.C., 3,500 years ago, is for the forfeiting of the gift of the miracles for the translation and the rise to live and reign with the Yahshua during the 1,000 years, we do not let the enemy cheat us of this new heart fitness for heaven. Thus in giving is indeed to be the second exodus. Okay, for this in gathering is indeed for the second exodus, and it is for the exactly as Yahshua has said, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahweh, the Father, shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people. And how does he do that? Again, through his son Yahshua, that rock in the cloud that Paul saw there in 1 Corinthians 10:4, when Yahweh sent his son with Moses down into Egypt to gather the first exodus coming out of Egypt, the children of Israel, which shall be left from Assyria. Now this is Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time. It's Yahweh the Father and the Son setting their hand the second time. For the return of the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Petros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. Like as it was unto Israel, and the day that he camped out of the land of Egypt, Isaiah 11:11-16. And I will give her vengeance from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt, Isaiah 2:15. Instead of the giving all for the Asherah, many have taken the golden wedge and a goodly Babylonish garment and hid them in the camp. If the presence of one Achan was sufficient for the weakening of the whole camp of Israel, then can we be not surprised at the little success that attends our efforts, when every church and almost every family has its Achans in it? Sister White made that statement in Volume 5 of the Testimony, page 157. Hence, the reason for the imminent purification of the church by the destruction of the Achans of the day, and the preparation for the antitypical crossing of the Jordan. For it is now to be considered how this work of the shaking, separating, will begin, and also how the church is to hear of it. Years ago, the Spirit of the Yahweh opened up the truth in the vision. I asked the meaning of the shaking that I had seen, declared the recipient of the vision, and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness unto the letter sin. The true witness is Yahshua, says so in Revelation 1:5 and Revelation 3:14. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him for the exalting of the standard and pouring forth of the straight truth. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it. And this is what we'll call his shaking among the Yahweh's people. Early writings, page 270. In this vision, we are introduced unto a mighty message that is to be carried unto the Seventh-day Adventists that led us in, Revelation 3:14, and that it is for the commencing, it's with the commencing of the shaking among Yahweh, and that is to commence the shaking. Let's read that again. In this vision, we are introduced unto a mighty message that is to be churned into the seventh day Adventist later sin. Okay, let's read this again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. In this vision we are instructed unto a mighty message that is to be carried unto the seventh day Adventist later sin, Revelation 3:14. And that is for the commencing of the shaking among the Yahweh's people. Then in the subsequent vision and testimony, we are given for the scene of the glorious sequel unto this shaking. For the mighty miracles were wrought, the sick were healed, and signs and wonders followed the believers. Yahweh was in this work. Okay, Yahweh the Father is actually his son. Yahshua was in this work, for the Father sent his Yahshua to head up this work, and every saint, fearless of the consequences, followed the convictions of his own conscience and united with those who were keeping all the commandments of Yahweh, and with power they sounded abroad the third message. Page 278. From the last quote, averted writings. Say unto them that are of the fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Yahweh, or your Yahshua, the Son, will come with a vengeance. Even Yahshua with a recompense. That's the Son of Yahweh. For he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing for in the wilderness, and shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Isaiah 35:46. It is possible to give any idea of the experience of the people of Yahweh who shall be alive upon the earth when the celestial glory and a repetition of the persecutions of the past are blended. They will walk in the light proceeding from the throne of the Yahshua. This is Yahshua's throne. This is the throne of David that's talked about there in Luke 1:32-33, that Yahshua, his Father in heaven, gave unto his Son in these last days to come and sit upon the throne of David. And this is that throne prophesied by Isaiah 9:6-8. It's called the throne of Yahshua upon the throne of David. In the house of David, they will walk in the light proceeding from the throne of the Yahweh the Father. It's his throne that actually let his Son inherit here on earth. It's the Father, from the throne of the Father and the Son. By the means of the angels, there will be constant communication between the heaven and earth. And Satan surrounded by the evil angels and claiming to be the Yahweh the Father will work miracles of all kinds for the deceiving, if possible, the very elect. For the Yahweh's people will not find their safety in the working miracles, for the Satan will counterfeit the miracles that will be wrought. Yahweh's tried and tested people will find their power in the signs spoken of in Exodus 31:12-18, Testimony 5:9, page 16. Envisioning this great day of the Yahweh's power, the gospel prophet too focuses our eyes upon those who, heeding the straight testimony, survive the ordeal of the shaking and behold face to face those wondrous things of the future glory. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem as a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Yahshua will be unto us a place of the broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with the oars, neither shall a gallant ship pass thereby. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick, for the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven of their iniquity. Isaiah 33:20, 21, 24. Then in this already glorious picture, inspiration adds still another enlightening and heartening fashion. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yeshua shall be delivered. For in the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the New Jerusalem, I added a few words there, 12th hour and new, shall be deliverance, as the Yeshua has said, and in the remnant, the 144,000, whom the Yeshua shall call. But Judah shall dwell forever. That's the house of David. That's the shall dwell forever. That's one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the new Jerusalem from generation to generation. Joel 2:32 and Joel 3:20. But upon the Mount Zion shall the deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession, and the Savior shall come up on the Mount Zion for the judging of the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be unto the Yeshua. Obadiah 1:17-21. For these two prophecies of the deliverance and of the subsequent events vividly reveal the wonder working power that is to invest those who endure the swiftly approaching great and dreadful day of the Yeshua. And now, as the days hasten on the page, Testimony Volume 5, page 80, for the engulfing and the ruin of the lay of the sins who turn a deaf ear, that's the lay of the sins in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, who turn a deaf ear unto the message that causes the shaking, virtually none but the sick, the afflicted, the outcast, and those from the streets and the lanes will be humble and lowly enough for the responding unto the warning, for the experience of the transforming power of the divine grace upon their hearts, the progressively sanctifying impartation of the righteousness by the faith, and to be among the gathered one as the inspiration does the future discloses. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 11:12. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time, to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with the one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of the oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore cannot come. So that servant came and showed his master these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go and out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. And that's of the Adventist church. And bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Luke 14:16-21. For the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Daniel 12:10. Who are wise? For they understand. Are you, brother, sister? Will you act now? While there is time, will you face the picture and get ready for the meeting of the situation? Will you, before the Spirit of Yahweh leaves you and the enemy secures final advantage, over you, will you realize that as he beguiles the rich with vanities and grinds the poor with cares, he will use every weapon he has to dishearten, discourage, and scatter all who accept the Yahweh's merciful invitation unto his supper, or the Yahshua, the Son's merciful invitation unto his supper. Moreover, as sure as the devil lives, he will employ every possible agency for the either adding to the Yahweh's truth or for the subtraction from it, aggravating and disheartening, especially capitalizing on the misfortunes and afflictions of the saints, to thus secure their downfall, if possible. Principally will he depend upon two of his most powerful and successful agencies, extremism, one pushing to the right and the other to the left, in an effort for to scatter as many as possible away from the center path of the light. He will endeavor to drive one class into the fires of fanaticism, and for the plunging another class into the icy waters of unconcern. And to this end, he will seek to convince the former class that their afflictions and misfortunes are the evident results of their imperfect obedience unto the present truth, and will mock the latter class as fanatically strict in their course of the faith. For the only ones that will endure unto the end will be those who carefully watch their steps from being carried away either by the additions to or by his subtractions from the works of the inspiration. For the informed, however, will rejoice rather than be pushed and driven unto despair. Nothing, not even the affliction of Job, will discourage them. For they will be wise and will understand. They will know the truth, and the truth will set them free from the Satan's snare. They will remember that the blind man, John 9:1-3, was born blind, not because of the someone's sin, but only that the Son of Man might be glorified in him. They will as well consider that both Lazarus and Dorcas took sick and died, and because they were the biggest sinners of the day, not because they were the biggest sinners of the day, but that the Son of Yahweh might demonstrate that he has power not only for the healing of the sick, but also for the raising of the dead at his will. They will perceive that afflictions and misfortunes that have come upon them have not drawn them away from the Yahweh, but rather have drawing them closer unto him, that they are better off for the going into the kingdom, poor, maimed, halt, and blind, than to go into perdition, rich in the houses, lands, oxen, and health, or whatsoever. It says, with the tears of joy over his forgiving her great sins, Mary Magdalene therewith washed her Savior's feet and wiped them with her hair. Then, breaking the precious alabaster box, anointed his head with its ointment. All the while this was taking place, Judas' greedy hands were twitching for the price of it to fatten his purse, though at the same time he was pretentiously professing deep love for the poor. This hypocritical profession, while tapering upon his breast, as it were with the voice of the doves, he sought to pass off as genuine love for others by accusing Mary of extravagance and waste. and Yahshua of the vanity and waste. For the informed and the disconcerning will spot such false brethren in their midst, and will know that if Yahweh wants his faithful ones sick, they will gladly suffer sickness for his sake. If he wants them well, they will praise his holy name for the health and strength and for the enabling them to do something for the feeble, the disabled, the sick, and the suffering. That if he wants them dead, then they cannot live and will gladly die. That if he wants them living, they cannot and will not want to die. That whatever he wants, this is what and will gladly take. Okay, for their hope will be in him only. Okay, for they will close their ears unto all who in one way or another seek to reprobate truth's cause today. They will not listen unto gossip. They will be confident that Yahweh is at the head of the work through his son, Yahshua, that he himself is attaining unto his business, Actually, that's Yahshua talking there. They will know that all who remain in the pits of the falsehood and unrighteousness will finally go into the bottomless pit of the perdition. For the lessons, too, from the Job's trial will be for their learning, hope, and courage. They will understand and consider well the fact that there were Jobs before the Job of the Bible. That there were Jobs since him, and that there are Jobs today, and that there will be Jobs till the kingdom come. For their faith in the Yahweh will be in the truth and in the confidence, whether in the weal or in the woe, in the sickness or in the death, and nothing will be able to move them from the heaven's message for the day. For they will know that it is to be either their life or their death, and to life will they cling, for they will not be found murmuring, doubting, accusing, or despairing, for whatsoever their lot while inside of Yahweh's hedge, they will know it is His will for them. Every one of them will with the heart and soul and in the certainty say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Yahshua, which made, from the Yahweh the Father, which made the heaven and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. For the Yahshua is thy keeper. For the Yahshua is thy shade upon thy right hand. For the sun shall not smite thee by the day, nor the moon by the night, for the Yahshua the sun shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Yahshua shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Psalms 121 and 1-8. An accumulative light now shining on the much mooted question of the tongue and other miracles. None need longer continue in the darkness, the stake, or the confusion as unto the nature, character, and purpose of the true miracle working power and the time for its manifestation. Sad to say, though, the multitudes of the uninformed and misinformed will continue to get hooked as they jump at hooks, baited with the miracle promises dangling and invitingly from the lines of the so-called miracle working here, there, and everywhere. This going from bad to worse. Squandering their time and their money, their life and their health, their hope and their faith. For no saints will pray and then wonder if Yahweh has heard and answered their prayers, for they will know and rejoice in the faith that they have in His promises, that He has heard and answered them in His own way, even though He is entirely contrary, for which they have prayed. For they will do what they can in Yahweh's way, accept the help He provides, and know that He is the better to trust in the Yeshua than to put confidence in man. Psalms 118:8. Since the time for the Yahweh to exalt any group of the people with a demonstration, with a demonstrational miracle working power has not yet come, though it is indeed fast approaching, and since you brethren know the prophecies on this subject, then if you heed them, how fortunate and happy you will be in the sparing yourselves from the running hither and yon and the search of a miracle working power. For there is no genuine. If you brethren stay inside of the Yahweh's hedge of the inspired revelation and walk with Him as did the Enoch of old, you will have Him by the side. Let's do it again. If you brethren, says the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, hedge of the inspired revelation, and walk in with Him as did the Enoch of old, you will have Him by your side every step of the way. So whatsoever your burden, leave it with Him, and He Himself will bear it for you to triumph. Know that He has raised your prayer, He has heard your prayer, and that He will grant you your request as He sees fit for the carrying out of His plan for you and for His gospel today. Miracle mongers and miracle hunters, fanatics, all bear in mind, may become dangerously subversive, ready for the sabotaging everything that is not in the accordance with their thinking. Loose and rattling tongues will endeavor for the shaking of the faith of us all. It says loose and rattling tongues. That's what we had down at Kermit for 33 years. We had loose and rattling tongues. And the most loose tongue was a prophet wife, Lyme A. Johnson. She was a Jezebel in the flesh, if there ever was one. And she had a loose and rattling tongue. We'll endeavor for the shaking of the faith of us all. For the ones, though, who bear the heaviest burden of the feeding the flock with the meat in the due season, will be the devil's main targets at just such a time as this. For these devoted followers of Yahweh will profit most by the Yahshua's advice. And just at the time of this, these devoted followers of the Yahshua, the Son, will profit most by the Yahshua's advice. Trust you not in a friend, put you not confidence in a guide, keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter arises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look unto Yahshua. I will wait for the Yahshua of my salvation. My Yahshua will hear me, Micah 7:5-7. That's my Savior, my Redeemer by His blood, and that's Yahshua. It will be discovered that there will be thousands of voices, some from the professed believers and some from those who fight against the faith of the saints. One voice condemning one thing and another condemning another thing, and what one condemns, another will approve. But when held close unto the light of the Yahweh's word, all their discordant philosophizing and murmurings, their man-made plans and carnal ideas will be seen to be but a tumult of envy, jealousy, pride, self-opinions, hatred, malice, politics, greed, prejudice, and every other selfishness. Let's read that again. But when held close unto the light of Yahweh's word, all their discordant philosophizing and murmurings, their man-made plans and carnal ideas, will be seen to be but a tumult of the envy, jealousy, pride, self-opinion, hatred, malice, politics, greed, prejudice, and every other selfishness. These unfortunate self-sent ones, being yet in the spiritual darkness, doubtless imagine themselves to be working for the Yahshua with a zeal and energy. But one day they will finally discover that they have been working against the Yahshua and Saul of the Taurus discovered about himself. May the prayers of the saints awaken them and put them working for the Yahshua, as the prayers of the Stephen caused Saul to become the great Apostle Paul for both Jews and Gentiles. And may he that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith, and hold fast that which he hath, lest the enemy deceitfully take it from his grasp. Well, it looks like that's the end of two timely greetings, number 46. And I don't guess there's any more of the timely greetings of volume 2. So that's the end of volume 2. Okay, let's go and finish this sermon off. We got about 20 minutes to go on this sermon. With two timely greetings, number 7, it's the time of trouble and the reward of the one's faith in the Yahweh. This is the September 20th, 1947 sermon by V.T. Hartliff at Waco, Texas. It says, our study for this afternoon is found in Daniel chapter 11 and 12. Chapter 12 contains the time of trouble, but the time of trouble... is found in the 11th chapter of Daniel. It says, for the 12th chapter is a continuation of the 11th chapter. We shall begin our study with Daniel 12:4. But thou, Daniel, serve the words, and seal the book even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel was told to shut and seal the book even unto the time of the end. For the book, therefore, was not for the understanding of the people before the time of the end. So then, when the book is unsealed and understood, we may know that the time of the end is come. Besides this sign, though, there is a sign of men going to and fro and increase of knowledge. For the whole world knows that throughout the years of the history prior unto our time, the horse was the means of the man's speediest transportation and communication, and this method continued throughout the centuries. For the angels nevertheless informed Daniel that in the time of the end there would be a decided change, that men would then run to and fro and touch in the time of the end according to Nahum's prophecy. Inspiration declares that the church shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broadway. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings of Nahum 2:4. Now that the knowledge has been increased since the last century or longer, and now that steam, oil and electric engines have revolutionized the world and have made it possible for the men to run to and fro with the unprecedented speed, the subject stands out clear as crystal that we are now living in the time of the end. There can be no doubt about this. This is positive truth, truth that you cannot gainsay and yet believe the Bible and history. For the sign of the beginning of the time of the end, we must read Daniel 11:40, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with the chariots and with the horsemen and with the many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Not in, but at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at the king of the north. For this prophetic war therefore marks the beginning of the time of the end. For the fun of the time of the conflict between the two kings, we need to read Daniel 11:41-43. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But they shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon, and he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape, but he shall have power over the treasures of the gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of the Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. Mark carefully that at the downfall of the king of the south, the king of the north expands and overthrows many countries, that he enters the glorious land, Palestine, but Edom, Moab, and the children of Ammon escape out of his hand. And remember that this work of the conquest was to begin at the time of the end. Hence, in the time of the end, the king of the south declines while the king of the north expands. And since the conflict starts at the time of the end, the defeat of the one and the victory of the other are completed in and during the time of the end. And that time of the end is what we're in now in the 12th parabolic hour. This is the time of the end. We've been in this period since 2002. Next. To learn when the years of the time of the end began, and who the king of the south and who the king of the north are, all you need to know is when such a clash began, and who in the time of the end ceded Egypt and Palestine unto an enemy power. What the power has as a result shrunk during the time of the end, and what power has expanded. There is but one answer, and that is while the Ottoman Empire has been shrinking since 1669 A.D., the British Empire has been expanding, and it today rules Egypt and Palestine. Hence today, Turkey is the king of the south, and Great Britain is the king of the north. And according unto the prophetic conflict, the time of the end started at the beginning of the 18th century. Here is a map that demonstrates the rise and decline of the Ottoman Turkish Empire. Look at it, study it, and on the opposite page is the expansion of the English Empire during the same period of time. Okay, this, you see, is positive truth, not guesswork, not history, not a far-fetched idea. Next note, that Edom and Moab escape out of his hand. Yes, the king of the north shall lose them. As the Second World War has, however, brought the first reverses to Great Britain, and as we here see her in the prophecy, her part in the World War II must also be found in the Daniel 11. Let us then study the remaining verses of chapter Daniel 11:44. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with a great fury for the destroying and for the utterly to make waste, to make away many. In the time of the end, after having overflown the previously mentioned countries, the king of the north is again seen in the conflict, but not with the king of the south. He is drawn into this last conflict by what is reported to him from the east and from the north. Now that World War II developed from the directions specified by the inspiration, with the Germany on the north and the Japan on the east, besides Russia and the extreme north, facts so far so fresh in our minds are bound for the removing all doubt that World War II is the one spoken of here in the prophecy, and let us not forget that World War II has not actually ended, that it is yet to be finished. I say in the face of these facts, now known worldwide, it is difficult for one to deny what is here brought to light. Daniel 11:45, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the sea and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come unto his end, and none shall help him. Now that the Great Britain's economic structure is in the grave danger of collapsing, and as her empire is fast crumbling, we fear that the fulfillment of the verse 45 is perhaps closer than one might realize. If only those who head the empire and also the heads of our own nation knew and understood prophecy, we believe Great Britain could come out victoriously, as did the Nineveh of old after the Jonah's great episode. We all know that Great Britain has been helped by the United States of America more than once. But if we rightly understand this verse, the events of which are but a continuation of those found in verses 44, the king will surely come unto his end, and none will help him. This may transpire before the World War II is entirely over, and yet it may not. We gather this from the fact that the event of the verse 44 is in the connection with the event of verse 45. For the inspiration seems to allow no time between verses 44 and 45. We do not know the turns which the war will take. But we know that the prophecies of the Bible never fail. As unto his planting his tabernacles in the glorious holy mountain, it is not too clear for the planting the tabernacles of his palace before he comes, and to this end does not necessarily mean moving his throne there. It could be taken to mean having a branch of his palace there. If he is to plant the tabernacles there while Michael stands up, though then the only locality other than the Holy Land that we know of is at the Mount Sinai down in Saudi Arabia, where the children of Israel first came to when they came out of Egypt 1,500 years before the cross. On their first exodus, Moses brought them to Mount Sinai, between the Mediterranean and the Red Sea. From the study of the 11th chapter of the Daniel, we have learned several positive truths. Number one, that the time of the end began in the 18th century. Number two, that the king of the south is the Ottoman Empire. And number three, that the king of the north at the present time is a Great Britain in particular. Number four, that World War II is the war in Daniel's 11. Now that the prophecy of the 11th chapter of Daniel continues through the 12th, we shall turn unto verse 1. Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And at that time, that is, at the time that the king of the north comes unto his end, and none help him, shall Michael stand up. And at the same time, there shall be trouble such as never was, even at that same time. Only Yahweh's people, who have their names written in the book, will be delivered. None other. This study has led us step by step down to our own day. Through this study, we see that the time of the trouble is but a step in the future, that the only event yet to be fulfilled before the time, before the trouble begins, is the king of the north coming to his end. And that's Great Britain, folks. Ukraine, that's fighting with Russia today, is at war. This is part of this here king of the north. Okay? I believe it is. Then falls the reward of the faithful. It may not be exactly the way, I'm going to do more investigation on that. What a solemn time we have come to, brothers, sisters. Do you realize that if you do not now make an effort to put your name in the book, it may be forever too late, and as it is not better, and is it not better to have your name there, even if the trouble were 100 years in the future? Now is the time to act. Now is the day of the salvation brought unto you. Today, inspiration, please, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Only those who have been heed the revealed word of Yahweh will find deliverance and peace. None others will. Daniel 12:2. It says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Here we are told that in the time of the trouble, these arise, some to live forever and some to die again. Do you now realize that not only the time of trouble is at the door, but even this special resurrection, do you actually see that in the time of the trouble, while the living saints are being delivered, these dead who rise to everlasting life are also delivered from their graves. Do you realize that this time of the trouble is in the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the day which the promised prophet Elijah announces? Do you actually know that he is to turn the hearts of the fathers and of the children toward each other, lest the Yahshua smash the earth with a curse? Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Do you see that the prophet appears in a day he can restore all things? And that includes restoring miracles? That is a part of this restoration by this antipical Elijah. And you have to come to perfection and the gift of tongues. He's going to restore that. Have to have an antipical Pentecost for that. All things, everything that was lost through sin, even the kingdom. Do you know that the resurrection of Daniel 12 is not the same as the resurrection of 1 Thessalonians and the Revelation 20, verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord Yahshua himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the dead, and with the trump of the Yahweh, and the dead in Yahshua shall rise first. Revelation 20, verse 46, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahshua and for the word of Yahweh, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Yahshua 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of Yahweh and of his son Yahshua, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. For the Apostle Paul obviously speaks of the same resurrection as the Apostle John, because it is only the holy ones are raised. Both Paul's and John's descriptions make clear that these arise at the commencement of the 1,000 years. This we see from the fact that they lived with Yahshua 1,000 years, and that they were caught up to meet the Yahshua in the air, that they were on their way to live with Yahshua during the 1,000 years, not Yahshua with them. Now, to line up all the resurrections, we must take into account also the ones of the Ezekiel 37:1-11-14. For the hand of the Yahshua of the Yahweh was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Yahweh, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of the bones. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith Yahshua, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of the Israel. And you shall know that I am the Yahshua when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your grave. This is Yahshua the Son talking, and shall put my spirit upon and in you, and you shall live and shall place, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Yahshua, have spoken it and performed it, saith Yahshua. In this resurrection only Yahweh's own people, Israel, arise with no sinner among them. Moreover, these do not meet the Yeshua in the earth. They are taken into the land of Israel, Palestine, by the Yeshua, the Son, for he is already here, and he is the one that's conducting this resurrection to begin with. And this is what the prophets before have not portrayed, as I have done just now. For this resurrection, therefore, is not the same as the resurrection of 1 Thessalonians, of the Revelation, or of the Daniel 12. It must be a separate one. Let us now come back to Daniel 12, 1-3. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they shall be and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that be turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever. In these three verses, several things clearly stand out. Number one, only those whose names are written and the books are delivered. There are therefore no foolish ones among them. Number two, those who are resurrected, however, are mixed. Both foolish and wise come up. Number three, the statement that they that be wise, implying that some be foolish, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, indicates that these wise ones are from among the raised. Number four, that if the wise are from among the resurrected and turn many to righteousness, then they must be resurrected in the probationary time, in the time of the 12th parabolic hour, and the time of the salvation for mankind, because we're in the harvest. In this last probationary hour of the 12. For your work, and Yahshua is here doing the harvesting. The power of Yahshua from the Father through the Yahshua, through his kingdom here on earth, the kingdom of David, with the 144,000 are doing the harvesting. Your work, my work, will not cease with this life. For a little while we may rest in the grave. But when the call comes, we shall in the kingdom of Yahweh take up our work once more. Testimony, Volume 7, page 17. Daniel 12, 4-10. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise will understand. Now, what is meant by being wise? Let us turn unto Matthew 25:1-4. Then shall the kingdom of the heaven be likened unto the 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil and their vessels with their lamps. Here we see that the wise are those who take extra oil, extra truth, that lightens the rest of their way. Finally, it plainly appears that this mixed resurrection is a test. That is, they are all given the opportunity to be wise, to turn many to righteousness, but only a part of them do so. Some of them again fall into sin, and therefore they awake unto shame and everlasting contempt, everlasting disobedience. But the wise awake unto everlasting life, never again to die. This plainly shows that those who give themselves to wickedness up to the time that they die would not turn to righteousness, even though they be given a second chance. For the extra oil, truth for this time, is what decides each one's destiny. For the wise shall embrace the additional truth, while the foolish will not. Sin is indeed a mystery. This brings the end of our study. This hour contest is at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.